J.C. Rowell, capable writer and renowned preacher of the Word of God many years ago, had this to say about friendship. He said, a genuine, true, and tried friend, a genuine, true, and tried friend is one of the greatest blessings that any person can possibly have. He said, tell me not of riches. Affection is sweeter than gold. Tell me not of houses and lands. Friendship is better than land. Tell me not of the honor and power of this world. True love is best of all. And he is indeed a poor, poor man who has no friend. Who has no friend. You see, he continued, this world is a lonely place. It is a sinful place, and I need a friend to love me. And this world is a dark place. It gets darker and lonelier. And the brightest light is a friend. And he continued, I am growing old and weary and tired and weaker every day. And I desperately need a friend to walk with me, to talk with me, to encourage me. Because change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. A real faithful friend, faithful, is scarce and rare. Oh, there are many who will eat and drink with you. There are many who will share the good times. There are many who will laugh and play with you. But who will love me always? Who will never leave me? And never disown me? And never forsake me? Who will always love me with the same love, no matter what I do? No matter what I say, no matter where I am, is there such a friend? Is there such a friend who sticketh closer than a brother? There's one that sticketh closer than a brother. One who loves me with an everlasting love, who loved me before I loved him, and much, much more than I'll ever be able to love him. Well, I have such a friend. Did you know that? I have a friend. And I want to tell you about him tonight. If you'll turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, I have such a friend. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, beginning with verse 9, this is what the watchman said. The watchman said to the church, what is your beloved more than another beloved? What is your friend more than another friend? O thou fairest among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Ah, she said, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about him. My beloved is white, pure, holy, without sin, And my beloved is ruddy. He's strong. And he's a deliverer. And he's the chiefest among 10,000. He's the greatest of all. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the chiefest among 10,000. God has given him a name above every name. And his head, verse 11, is as the most fine gold. He wears an everlasting crown. And it never comes off. He's crowned from all eternity. And even in his weakest hour on the cross, he's the king. His head is as the most fine gold. And his locks are bushy and black as a raven. That's his youth. Everlasting youth. He never changes. Never, never changes. Never grows old. And his eyes, well, they're like the eyes of a dove. Gentle. Nothing as gentle as a dove. His eyes are as the eyes of a dove by the rivers of water, washed with milk. They're clear. There's no deceit in his eye anywhere. No deceit. None whatsoever. No lies. No hypocrisy. No deceit. They're clear, washed with milk. And fitly set. They're unchanging. You know, eyes tell a whole lot, don't they? Windows of the soul, someone called them. That's the reason he took so long to describe. Why did he take so much space to describe the eyes of his beloved? They're gentle, compassionate, affectionate. I look into your eyes and tell if you love me. And they're clear. There's no deceit. What he says he means unchanging. They're fitly set, and he'll never change. He has an unchangeable love, an everlasting love, an infinite love. Clear, crystal clear. And then his cheeks, verse 13, are as a bed of spices, soft and comfortable, as sweet flowers. Lying down, leaning upon his breast is like lying down in a bed of sweet-smelling flowers in the cool of the evening. And his lips are like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Grace flows from his lips. Grace flows from his lips. He doesn't sell anything. He gives it, doesn't he? Grace. Always gracious, gracious, gracious. And his hands are his gold rings, set with a beryl. He's generous. Just keeps giving. He just keeps giving. Just keeps giving. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. That's the real compassion that comes forth from within. He truly, genuinely loves me. He's my friend. He comes from deep within. And his legs, his strength, are as pillars of marble, unshakable, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. And his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether. If I've left anything out, he's altogether. Everything about him and of him and from him, and he's just altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. And this is my beloved, and this is my friend. This is my friend. I've just introduced you to my friend. That's my friend. He's my beloved, and he's my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Now, first of all, when I think of my Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, I hear this saying all my life, well, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Well, he's my friend in need. My need. My need. I'm the neediest creature on earth. There's nothing I can add to him, my friend. I'm the one in need. I'm a sinner. And there's no need like that of a sinner. I'm naked. I'm sick. diseased. I'm bankrupt. In fact, I'm not only bankrupt, I'm in deep debt. I'm full of leprosy. I'm cut off. I'm cast out. And yet he loves me. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me. He came into this world to save a fellow like me, a sinner. I'm not only a sinner, but I'm a sinner under the judgment of God Almighty. Did you know that? I'm in jail. I'm not on probation. I'm in prison already. I've been committed to the prison house of the damned and the doomed by the wrath of God, by the righteousness of God, by the law of God. And yet he loved me and he undertook to set me free. He came down here and he said, deliver him from going down into the pit. I am the ransom. You talk about in need. And then I'm not only a sinner and under the judgment of God, but I'm a poor dying creature. The plague of sin is in my blood. It's in my blood. One of my dear friends was here this morning to hear me preach. I don't know whether she's here tonight. I don't see her. But she wouldn't mind me telling this. But she was all smiles this morning. Looked so good and healthy. I said, you look different from that time I saw you over in the hospital when you were so sick and right on the edge of eternity and about to die. I said, you look a lot better today. And she said, yes. And she said, a certain loved one of mine said he didn't want to ever see me like that again. And I said, but he will. Because we got that river to cross yet. I remember when you were lying down in the hospital with a heart attack, Cecil. Hurt my heart to see you, but God lets me live, I'll see you like that again. And this time, you're not going to recover. Now let's face it, folks. Let's quit playing games. We're dying creatures. Did you know that? We're dying creatures, John. We're dying creatures now. And I'm a dying creature. The plague's in my blood. Do you understand that? It's in my blood. It's in my blood. The instrument of death is already prepared. Each hour I draw nearer and nearer to the cold grave. Is that clear? Every hour. And denying it's not going to change it. It's appointed unto me and wants to die. But because of my friend, death is gain. It's not loss, it's gain. Because my friend came to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. My friend said, because I live, you're going to live. Don't be afraid. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. I tell you, a faith that won't let you face reality is not a real faith. Is that right? Now let's face it. A faith that will not let you, and a friend, is there such a one, is there such a friend who is with me in my need, cleanses me from my sin, delivers me from the judgment of God, and holds my hand through that deep, dark floodwaters of death, and will take me out on the other side, clothed in his likeness, conformed to his image. That's my friend. I can trust him too, Richard. I can trust him. I can't trust the flesh, but I can trust him. And then he's my friend indeed. Yes, he is, in my need and indeed. And my friends, the true extent of friendship is not in words, it's in deeds. Do you understand that? Our Lord kept rebuking us. Love not in word only, but in deed. Indeed. Don't tell me what you feel, what you wish, what you think, what you hope. Like Ryle said, don't weary me with flowery thoughts. Let me see your love. Let me see it. And the doing and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ is proof of his love for me. He proved it. He proved it. Never has the world ever seen such love, such kindness, such self-denial, such sacrifice upon an object of affection. He didn't love me in word only. He loved me indeed. Indeed. He loved me so much that way back yonder before the world began, he established himself as my surety, the guarantor of the covenant, my redeemer from all eternity. As the wrath of God hung over a wicked world, the Lord Jesus Christ stood for me in that hour. Yes, he did. He was my friend. And then he took my nature, the form of a servant. Though he was rich, he became poor. He took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, even the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He suffered the just for the unjust. Even was separated from his Father, bearing my shame and guilt and sin, and was buried and rose again. And he was exalted to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, my friend and forerunner, my intercessor. And his very presence pleads for me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Never was ever one so high who stooped so low than my friend. Never was one so rich and became so poor he had nowhere even to lay his head. Never has one ever been required to pay such a price. Never was there ever such a friend as my friend. This is my friend. Think about it. And then he's a powerful friend. You know, real, actual power to help and to relieve, I don't possess. I just don't possess it at all. I see a friend in debt. And I'd like to just deliver him from all of his burdens. But I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I see a friend suffering. I've seen some of you suffer. And your body racked with pain. And I can't make the pain go away. Just can't make it go away. Have you felt, you experienced that before? Watch one of your loved ones, you know, and you thought, oh, if I could just make that pain go away. But I can't do it. And I see a friend dying, and I think, oh, if I could just help him. Or I see someone weeping and crying over a terrible loss. I can't dry his tears. I just don't have the power. But my friend does. My friend does. He has all power in heaven and earth. He can bail out the bankrupt. He can relieve the suffering. He can give hope and life to the dying. And he can wipe all tears from their eyes. He's my friend. He's able to do all that he promised. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able to keep me from falling. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. He's able to present me faultless before the presence of the Father with exceeding glory. And then he's able to raise my vile body. He's able. You know why? Because of who he is, what he did, and where he is now. That's my friend. I wish everybody here knew my friend. And I tell you this, he's a loving, affectionate friend. Paul said, true love beareth all things. Beareth all things. Bears up under all things. Never folds. Bears up under all things. True love believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things, and never faileth. I wish I knew something about that kind of love in here. But I know something about that kind of love in him because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never, 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 ever leave you. I'll never forsake you. Have you had friends to leave you? He won't. Have you had friends to forget you? He never will. Have you had friends who disappointed you and you disappointed them? He never will. He never will. Have you had friends to criticize you and find fault with you? He never will. He prays for you. He never does. There's no love like his love. It's one of the writers said, it's love that passeth knowledge, passeth understanding. That's the love of Christ. And you know something? He's a wise friend. Our friendship is well-meaning, but it's so often blind. Did you know that? I've just fit this to myself here. And so often we err in our counsel and advice that we give, don't we? We err. But he never errs. You can believe everything he says and act on it. He never errs. We do now. Sometimes meaning well, but we err in our counsel and in our advice, and with our children, we either overindulge or we're too harsh. That's right. We chasten when we ought to encourage, and we encourage when we ought to rebuke. We're not very wise, are we? I know. Because we're so limited in our understanding. But my friend is all wise. He never makes a mistake. Never, never, never. We make bad investments, and we lead others to make bad investments. We walk the wrong path, and we take others with us. How unwise we are. But not my master. Not my master. Not my master. He says, all things work together for good to them who love him and who are called according to his purpose. That's right. He gives or withholds nothing. That's not for my good. I can be confident of that, just as confident of that as he is in glory. He never will give me anything or withhold anything from me that's not for my good. Never. You can't say that about anybody on this earth. Even your beloved wife can't say that about you because you're limited in your understanding. You might pick up and take her and move somewhere and that's a big, bad mistake. You see what I'm saying? But he never makes a mistake. All that he does happens at the right time, too. In the right way. To the right one. That's right. And he gives me just as much help and just as much pain as I need. Charlie, he does, doesn't he? Just as much as I need. Just exactly what I need. I've never felt a pain that he didn't determine in his all-wise decree that I needed. It's good for me, David said, that I've been afflicted. I've learned your statutes. He mixes my sorrow with joy so that I don't ever have too much of either. He mixes my failure with success so that he might make me what he wants me to be. He fills my eyes with tears when I need it and my heart with joy when I despair. What a friend we have in Jesus. He calls on me to carry a cross, and then he carries it for me. That's right. He manages all my affairs in wisdom and truth, even while I'm bumbling them. He has prepared for me a home and a place, and will one day come and take me away in such love and splendor and glory that I'll spend all the days of eternity thanking him. Thanking him. For every rock and stone and every dark cloud and every raindrop and every hurt and every trial and every blessing. Because he's so wise. That's my friend. That's what I mean when I say trust the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. Put no trust in horses and the strength of men. Put no trust in any of these things. Don't put any trust in your government or your leaders or anyone else. No confidence in the flesh. There's just one you can trust, and that's my friend, the one I'm telling you about. You can trust him. And you know something about him? You say, well, who am I, preacher? Well, hold on. My friend is no respecter of persons. He has friends of every station in life. He has friends who are kings like David and paupers like Lazarus. And he loves them both the same. Loves them both the same. Cares just as much for one as he does the other. He can't love any other way but perfectly. Oh, he has prophets like Moses and slaves like Onesimus. He has women like Eunice and Lois and harlots like Rahab. He calls them friends. He has religious bigots like Saul of Tarsus and thieves on crosses. Why not you? And why not me? Huh? And then I'll tell you this about him. He has friends of every age. Came along and called out old Abraham when he was 75 years old. 75 years old. Had been messing around with idols all his life with his daddy. And my Lord came by and said, Abraham, you're my friend. That's what he called him. He's the friend of God. Isn't that what Scripture said? Abraham's God's friend. He spake to him as a friend. But then he's got young people like Timothy. And I say to our dear young people here, you listen to your pastor. And don't you demand of God any type of experience. You just pray unto God for a revelation of his person. And you walk in the light that he gives you step by step. Don't give God any deadlines. Just walk in the light God gives you and he'll give you more. And be true and faithful to the light you have. And rest and trust and hope in the Lord. And wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord for a revelation of his mercy and his love. Right? For the Lord said of Timothy through Paul, he said, here's Timothy, a grown man now. Timothy, the sidekick and helper of Paul, his aide in the gospel. And Timothy's probably 30 years old now, 25 or 30, somewhere like that. He's a preacher of the gospel too. And Paul said to him, he said, Timothy, I knew your mother and your grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and they were faithful to teach you the scriptures. And from a child, from a little boy, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, from a little child, thou hast known in your head, as well as your heart, the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. So what I'm saying to our boys and girls here is you sit in Miss Sheila's class, and as you sit in Miss Terry's class, and as you sit in Miss Mahan's class, and as you sit in Bob Coffey's class, and then you sit in Ron's class, and then you come and sit in my class, be patient. Listen to the Word of God. And learn the Word of God. And walk in the light God gives you. And one day, by His grace, and like I said, don't give God any deadlines. Don't set any targets for the Lord. He'll do what he will, when he will, with whom he will. And one of these days, by his grace, I guarantee you, he'll speak peace and joy to your heart. And you'll know whom you have believed. That's right. But don't feel that you have to make a profession of faith. Salvation's not down here. Salvation's not in here. Salvation's in Christ. If he's your friend now, he'll always be your friend. And you have no other friend like him. He has friends of every age. Suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not. Such is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what I say to you. I'm going to be faithful to tell you the truth about God, and your daddies and mamas are going to be faithful to to witness to you the truth of God, and you're going to come here and hear the gospel of Christ, and in God's own time, in God's own time, for God's own glory and for your good, the Lord will show you all these things. He said, our Lord said to his disciples, these were grown men that had been with him for 3 years. And he sat them down one day and he said, I've got many things to say to you that you're not able to bear. I've got some things to tell you that you couldn't even understand if I told them to you. But I'm going to tell you. My Spirit's coming and he'll tell you. And he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. And that's what I'm saying. Oh, Brother Man, we got to drive for a decision. You drive, I'll preach. We got to get people to commit. Well, you just go ahead and do that. I'm going to wait on the Lord to bring them to himself. And I'll tell you this, when he brings them, they'll come. I'm not worried. Are you? Not worried. He's my friend. He's my friend. And my friend's never failed yet, Charlie. He's never failed. And you know something? He's got friends of every temperament. Some are plain men like Isaac, and some are mighty indeed like Moses, and some are fervent like the Apostle Peter, and some are gentle like John. Some are unknown like the woman with the issue, what they call her, somebody. And some turn the world upside down like Paul. And some are careful and troubled and cumbered about like Martha. Some just sit at his feet like Mary, but they're his friends. He didn't say Martha wasn't his friend. He might have rebuked her, but she was his friend. I know that. He loved her. He loved her just as much as he loved Mary. Some were as wise as Solomon, and some were as foolish as Lot. But thank God, my friendship with Christ doesn't depend on what I'm like. And the amazing thing is, in closing, he has friends of every nation and tongue and tribe and kindred, Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and Romans. He has a people in all the world. And he's given us the privilege of telling them about himself. There were two little boys sitting on the front steps of a ghetto home. Old run-down apartment building. Barefooted and dirty. And one of them about 10 and one of them about 6, sitting there with their arms around each other, little old smudged dirty faces and long hair, hand-me-down clothes, and looking out over the street, and a big long car drove up, big long Lincoln with a Continental. Is that what they call that tire on the back, Gerald? Back on the back, big shiny new. One of them looked it up and said, "Whoo! Look at that. Look at that." And when the man stopped the car, they just got up spellbound and they went over there and they touched it. Look at that. And the little one walked around and looked at it. And this man got out of the car and came around and he said, "You boys like my car?" "Yes, sir, we like that car. That's the prettiest car I've ever seen in my life. That's a fine car." He looked at him and said, "You want to go for a ride in it? Would you take us for a ride in your car?" "Yeah, I'll take you for a ride. Get in the back seat." They got in the back seat and they sat down in that, sunk down in that plush velour, you know. He's driving down the street. Ooh, they had to say, "This is a nice car. Nicest car we've ever seen. I bet it costs a lot of money." Man said, "Well, to be honest, it didn't cost me anything." "Didn't cost you nothing?" "No, it didn't cost me a thing." "How come?" He said, "My brother gave it to me." "Your brother gave you this car?" "Yeah, my brother gave it to me." "Free for nothing?" "Free for nothing. Just gave it to you? Just come up to you and gave it to you? Free for nothing?" "That's right. My brother gave me the car. It didn't cost me a thing. He gave it to me." You know what he said?
I know what I would have said. But you know what he said? And that old 10-year-old looked at that man and said, "Boy, I wish I could be a brother like that." That's different, isn't it? Whew, I wish I could be a brother like that. That's what I'm saying. I tell you about my friend, and it doesn't alter the thing at all. That's my friend. But I wish I could be a friend like that. Don't you? Now let's shoot at it. Maybe by his grace, someday we will. All right, I want you to sing 470, Mike. You'll come and lead us. And this song is such a good song to follow this message I brought you. The title of it is He's My Friend, number 470. Let's stand while we sing.